We'd like to bid you one and all a warm and friendly word of welcome to our service of worship here in Hebron this morning. Our pastor, the Reverend Park, is currently on holiday, but he's joined us for fellowship in the gospel this morning, and so we bid him welcome in the Saviour's name. We want to take this opportunity to thank our brother for his faithful ministry over the past 12 months, over the past number of years here in Hebron. We'd like to extend also our congratulations as a congregation to Christopher and Sarah McLean. Both of them graduated on Thursday of this week from Dundee University as medical doctors. And so we trust that the Lord will continue to bless this young couple as they seek to serve him with not less than their all. We want to extend a very special word of welcome today to our student assistant, Mr. Simon Anderson. We enjoyed Simon's ministry last Lord's Day, and we're looking forward to what the Lord has placed upon his heart for us today. Our brother has completed his 4 years training in the Theological Hall of the Whitfield College of the Bible, and will be licensed to preach in the will of God by our presbytery in the month of September of this year. Please pray for Simon, for Lindsay, and for the family, that they might know the mind of Christ in relation to their calling in the field of service to which the Lord will open up unto them. We bid you welcome Simon in the Saviour's precious and in his worthy name. And without further ado, we're going to pass the rest of the service over to you, and we trust that God will richly bless you today.
Good morning, folks. Can I just re-echo those words of welcome to each and every one to the house of God here this morning in Hebron? It's my joy and privilege to be here again once more, taking part in your worship service. We're so thankful for the opportunity to labour amongst you during this past year, and we're so thankful for the kindness, the love shown toward not only me, but as my to my family as well here during our time amongst you. We're going to sing our opening hymn of praise this morning, 265 in your hymn books. If we don't have a problem here. Yes, 265, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. We'll remain seated as we sing our opening hymn of praise together this morning.
Thank you.
Maybe as you sit here this morning, you're well familiar with that verse. Perhaps we're taught it in Sunday school, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he loves the world. You know also that the Lord has a special place for his church. But you've never really grasped this morning the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And surely it is how marvelous, how wonderful is my Saviour's love to me. And that's surely our heart's desire, even as we meet today for noon worship, that you'll even receive Christ today as Lord and Saviour of your life. Our psalm for today is Psalm 75. Psalm 75. Psalm 75, we're commencing to read it, the opening verse. "Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks unto thee. Do we give thanks for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. And I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it, Selah. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly. Unto the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion neither cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is a judge. He putteth down and setteth up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof are the wicked of the earth, shall wring them out and drink them. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted." We'll just commit our time together at the outset today. Seek the Lord's face, seek his blessing, even upon our gathering together this day in this house. Our gracious Father, we come before thee this day, in and through that name that is above every other name, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, for that one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We thank thee for that one who is seated at the Father's right hand this day, having completed the work that he was set to do. And Father, we rejoice he even maketh intercession for us this day, thy children. And Father, as we come before thee on another Sabbath day, we are conscious, Lord, of our need of thee. We are conscious, Lord, of our need of the Spirit to come and to minister to us, to speak to our hearts, to challenge us even afresh from thy word. Father, we are conscious even of this week that has gone into eternity. Perhaps it has been many things to various different people. Perhaps it has been a good week for many. Perhaps some have struggled through day on day, just so they have found themselves again by thy mercy and grace in this Sabbath, on this Sabbath day in thy house once more. And Father, we just come before thee then and cry unto thee, Lord, to meet us each one this morning at the very point of that need. O Lord, we think of those even in this area who have been bereaved in past days. We think even of the Getty family, the Campbell family. We lift them up before thee this morning. We pray you'll draw especially nigh unto them. You pour in the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We're conscious of those who would love to be with us even in the house of God this day, but due to sickness and an ill health and infirmity, they're not able to be found out in the house of God. We pray you'll bless them, encourage them, Lord, even wherever they may be found this morning. Perhaps they're listening in online. We pray they'll even be encouraged and blessed there in their own home around the precious word of God. We think of those of the congregation here who labour works of necessity and mercy, perhaps with the NHS, and have experienced the busyness there over this past number of years, or even this past number of months, rather. And Father, we just pray you'd be pleased to even help them this morning, encourage them, even use them, make them a witness to thy name, even wherever they may be found this morning. O Lord, we just pray that you would come and tarry with us in the house of God here. We praise thee, Lord, for what thou dost mean to so many in the house of God here, so many that have that experience within their heart and lives. They can look back to that day when they were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, when thou dost set thy love upon them, draw them lovingly on to thyself. And Father, we just pray even for such this morning, you'll build them up in their holy and precious faith. We think of those today that are found outside of Christ, the perhaps faithful attenders of the work of God here, but yet they have a head knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet no heart knowledge of thee. They don't know what it is to be saved. And Father, they don't know what it is to possess that peace within their heart and lives this day. Oh Father, we pray for such. You will draw them lovingly unto thyself this day. Oh Lord, we thank thee even for thy servant here, for Mr. Park. We pray you'll bless him even as this time of holiday will draw to a close. We pray you'll continue to encourage him then, even in these days, as he looks to thee for the days ahead in this area here in Hebron. We praise thee again once more with thankful hearts for 70 years of gospel witness in this corner of thy vineyard. And Father, we just look to thee for greater days ahead. And Father, we long that there will even work in hearts and lives and family circles. We think of the boys and girls, the young people that's gathered into this house of God this morning. We realize the turbulent year it has been for so many of them also, even with school and the changes that there have been even there between homeschooling and online and all the various changing circumstances that have been encountered even in this past year. Well, Father, we just pray you'd keep your hand upon our young people in these days, our boys and girls. And Lord, most of all, may they know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour of their hearts and lives. May they put him first in all that they seek to do, even in this life. Oh, Father, come and do our hearts good as we read on around thy word, as we sing the hymns of Zion. Lord, we just pray you'll even, may we go away from this place saying it, even the service this morning was a wee touch of heaven, as it were, upon earth this day. Oh, come, do our hearts good, we pray of thee, what we cry for ourselves here in Hebron. We cry for those up and down this land of ours that are faithful to the blood and the book. We just pray that they'll even be signs following the ministration of thy word this day. Oh, tarry on now with us, for it's in Christ's name we would ask it, and for our Saviour's sake. Amen. Amen. Well, we bid you each one warmly welcome again to the house of God this morning. Indeed, if it's as warm down there as it is up here, you're definitely warmly welcome today. It's lovely to have you with us. I see some faces that are not local to this area, so you're very welcome in the house of God this morning in Hebron. Regardless if you're a regular here or join us online, we bid each and every one warmly welcome this day. This evening at 7 p.m. we invite you to return to the building again, or join us online for our evening gospel service, which is planned in the will of the Lord at 7 p.m. and I will be the preacher. The prayer meeting, can I remind you of it, also on Zoom at 5:30 p.m. We've been much encouraged even in our last couple of weeks here as we've joined in the early morning prayer meetings via Zoom. And can I just tell you, if you're not there, you're missing out. They're great times of blessing, people praying one after the other, that love and the concern, compassion one for the other, and for the lost and needy in this area. Thursday evening will be your midweek service here, when the preacher expected will be Mr. David McCauley, a second year student in the Whitfield College of the Bible, no stranger to you here in Ballymoney. I was just thinking in this recent week as we were here of the blessing and the testimony that there is from this church here in Ballymoney. Considering our Bible college, it runs for 4 years, and there's a representative in every college year from this church in Hebron, and surely that's a testimony to the work and to the witness of God here. And we as students value your prayers. Well, I say we as students, well, we're trusting after September we'll be no longer a student. We'll have our time done there in the college. Next Lord's Day, the worship service at 12 noon and the gospel service then at 7 p.m. when your own minister here, Lord willing, Reverend Park, will be here to minister God's precious word. The session committee here, thank you for your tithes, your offerings, as always, to God's work. Ongoing prayer requests there for the ministry here at Hebron. We bring them before you week by week. The gospel opportunities, conversions, even in this area, to Christ. You continue on to pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And may God help us to be such men and women and young people of prayer even in these days and be found praying. Pray for the children, youth, seniors of the church, missionary work, the National Health Service at this time. The sick and needy, the list that is brought before you, that is changing regularly. We bring these folk before your minds and we encourage you to keep them before the Lord in prayer. We've been asked to remind you of the drive-in mission over in Bush Mills, which is planned commencing tomorrow night at 8 p.m., running from the 19th through to the 23rd of July, with the evangelist expected will be the Reverend William McRae. The meetings will be convened there in the church car park, and I know your support would be much appreciated by the congregation across there. The meetings commence at 8 p.m., and will be concluded within the hour. Also then, the preliminary notice for the drive-in missionary rally, which is planned on the 6th of August at 7:30 p.m. over at Halfley's Farm on 82 Steps Road, Donnacloney. And you'll be made most welcome there to go and support the missionary work in Kenya and Uganda. There'll be special singing reports from the mission fields out there, and the preacher expected is our deputy moderator, the Reverend Colin Mercer. At this stage in our meeting, we're going to sing again hymn number 568. 568. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Thank you. Amen. Turning for our scripture reading again to 1 Kings this morning. 1 Kings in the chapter 17. Just remind you, as you're turning up to the place, our brother Greg's over ministering in Mahrafelt today, and brother Jonathan, I think, is off, and Dave as well. Keep the students just before you in prayer. Our brother De Panker also, as he has had a challenging year even over with the family members there, taking ill even in this past year as a result of the virus. 1 Kings 17, we're commencing to read there at the opening verse. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in, and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. We'll end our reading there, and we'll just ask you to stand and change your position as we seek the Lord's face now upon the blessing of his blessing, even upon the public reading of his word, before we come to preach this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank thee and praise thee for thy word. We thank thee, Lord, for the fact that it does not merely contain the truth, but rather it is the truth. And Father, we thank thee, Lord, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and we cry now, Lord, that thou would apply thy word to our hearts this morning. Father, we pray you will empty me of sin and self, and Lord, that you would be pleased to cleanse me afresh with the precious blood. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, and on each and every one gathered in this house this morning. And Lord, surely our heart's desire is that none will be seen today save Jesus and Jesus only. For it's in Christ's name I'd ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. For those of you who were with us last week, whether you joined with us in the building or online, you'll remember perhaps that we considered Cherith, Elijah's hiding place, giving some thought there to the opening verses of 1 Kings 17, 1 through to 7. We considered how it was a place of preparation, a place of protection, a place there of provision. In this opening verses of this chapter of 1 Kings, we find, as I say, Elijah hiding there by the brook Cherith. How that under threat of his life and in obedience to the command of the Lord, he went and he dwelt there by the brook Cherith. Cherith was a place of seclusion. It was up there, hid amongst the rocks. It was a secluded place. It was a place of solitude, a place of loneliness. And that was where Elijah was sent to dwell for a period of time. He resided there in seclusion, in solitude, with his heart aching, with loneliness. James tells us over in his epistle in James 5 and verse 17, these very, very, very important words, that Elias was a man subject to like passions, such as we are. And today, at the very outset of this message this morning, I want you to realize that despite the prominent place given to Elijah in Scripture, he was a man subject to like passions, such as we are this morning, such as you and me. Sometimes walking in the will of the Lord and serving him can be a lonely place to be. Elijah would have experienced such loneliness during his time there at Cherith. We read over in Jeremiah 15 and the verse 15 through to 17 of the loneliness felt by the prophet Jeremiah in his day. There in Jeremiah 15 and verse 17, we read these words, I sat alone because of thy hand. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand. And just as Jeremiah felt the loneliness, so did the prophet Elijah. Cherith was there in that secluded place, that place of solitude, but it was also a place of silence. As we look back at the period there, if you look down at verse 2 and verse 8, we read verse 2 first of all in these words, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. And then there is the intervening period from verse 2 on down there to verse 8, and we read again, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. However, there is not a mention of the speaking voice of the Lord recorded in this time in between, which Elijah dwelt there by the brook. We could say the silence was deafening. And are there not times in our life, in our service for the Lord, that this is so for us? We feel as if we are there when we know we are where the Lord would have us to be, but yet we feel as if we're not getting through to God, perhaps. There's a silence that's deafening. There are not times that there has been preaching, and yet no one is getting saved. There's door-to-door work, but yet no one seems to come into the meetings. There's children's meetings, and we find it hard to believe that they're taking in even what is being taught at times. But yet, brethren and sisters, this morning that we are reminded in the words of the Apostle Paul to the Church of Corinth of our responsibility in such times. And that is to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. The prophet Elijah remained at Cherith. He received the Lord's provision via the ravens, and he drank of the brook. He could have gone up to Jordan for water, but he did not. In fact, he could have moved from Cherith. He never did, though, until we read there in verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up,
because there had been no rain in the land. And then into verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath. Sometimes, you know, when the Lord requires us to move on in life, he makes things where we presently are somewhat uncomfortable before opening up the way for us to move forward. I think of perhaps you've watched the birds there or the nature program, and you see the mother hen, as it were, and she's ruffling up the nest to make things uncomfortable, to get the birds to go, to fly out of the nest, the young birds to fly on. And sometimes, you know, that's what the Lord does. More often than not, in fact. That's how the Lord works in our lives, even as his children. This was the case for Elijah. There he dwelt by the brook, and there the brook dried up. And then the Lord told him to arise and to go to Zarephath. The prophet Elijah, having remained there at the brook for up to a year now, is instructed of the Lord to go to Zarephath, which was about 75 miles north of Cherith, a similar distance as from about here down to Newry. This morning I want to consider with you the onward journey then of the prophet Elijah. The onward journey of the prophet Elijah. When he received this word from the Lord, he was sent, first of all, we see, to an unlikely city. He was sent to an unlikely city. Now the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath. This was the word that came to him from the Lord. Of all the places he could have been instructed to go and to dwell, the Lord directs him to Zarephath. This was Jezebel's homeland. If you look back with me again to 1 Kings 16. 1 Kings 16 and the verse 31. We see how this was Jezebel's homeland. We read there, and it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he, that is Ahab, took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, with Baal, which means with Baal, king of Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And Elijah there then is sent to go from this place there in the hiding place of Cherith to up sticks and to go to this unlikely city called Zarephath. He is instructed to go and to dwell amongst wickedness and darkness. Think of how he must have felt as he received such instruction from the Lord. And remember also, men and women and young people, that they were in the midst of a famine at that time. He was also the most wanted man in all of Israel. If you look over there to 1 Kings 18 and 10, we read there what Obadiah told him. 1 Kings 18 and the verse 10, as the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whether my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. He was the most wanted man in Israel at that time. And Elijah was sent outside of Israel to the most unlikely place. Is it not true, men and women, this morning? The Lord sometimes takes us from our comfort zones to teach us fresh reliance upon him. When the missionary John Patton was translating the scripture for the South Sea Islanders, he was unable to find a word in their vocabulary to highlight, to emphasize the concept of believing or trusting or having faith. He had no idea how he would convey this to them, and one day he was sitting in his old hut translating, and a native came running up the stairs and flopped down, as it were, there in Patton's study, exhausted. And he said to Patton, he said, oh, it's so good to rest my whole weight upon this chair. And John Patton then had his word. Faith is resting your whole weight upon God. Tell me this morning, are you found in such a manner, found in such a fashion today? Perhaps you're sailing through uncharted waters. The Lord has brought you to unfamiliar territory. Tell me, are you rebelling against his providential plan, perhaps, for your life, just because you cannot understand or accept it? As difficult as it may be for each one of us to do so, we must have faith in these times. And that means resting our whole weight upon God, not just a part of it, resting entirely upon him. What about you, dear sinner friend, this morning in this gathering? Such an exhortation is timely for you also. Oh, you faith in so many things, faith in yourself, faith in your natural abilities, faith in your talents. But you know, if you're ever going to be saved, you must rest your faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation. Are you doing so this day? We trust that you are. Elijah was a man, just as you and me. He experienced his fair share of disappointments, discouragements, a long life's journey, and none more so even as he was sent to this unlikely city. But see also with me this morning, not only was he sent to an unlikely city, he was sustained by an unusual source. He was sustained by an unusual source. We see there in verse 9, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." You know, the life of a true child of God is a walk of faith. Continual, consistent faith. But oh boy, was it going to take faith on this occasion like never before for Elijah. Fed by a widow. And you know, in many respects, due to the affluent society in which we find ourselves in this morning, in which we dwell amongst, we can lose sight of the significance of this portion of Scripture before us. Perhaps there are those amongst us today who, with the benefit of years, can remember back to those days when there were no supermarkets. Certain foods only became available while in season, and even bread was a luxury. I think if we are to be honest this morning with ourselves, there are a majority of us here today, we have to admit we have no real idea what poverty is. But yet when we consider this portion before us, what a sight do we see? What a sight do we behold? We see here in verse 10, read it there again for yourself. "So he arose and he went to Zarephath," and this is Elijah, "and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks." There she was, gathering sticks to make a fire, to get some form of heat that she could do some sort of cooking, to make some sort of meal, just to provide for herself and for her son. There she was, into verse 12, and she said, "Oh, as the Lord God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in, dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die." I don't know if you're familiar with the saying up here, starving by the hunger. But really, this is how this widow was found that day. She was in poor shape. This was the last meal. She was nigh unto death. And then the Lord instructs Elijah to go there and to seek provision. Seek sustenance from such a one. Now, the law of Moses made provision for the Hebrew widows and the orphans. If you want to turn with me or note it down, Deuteronomy 10 and 17, we read of this law here that made provision for the Hebrew widows and the orphans. Deuteronomy 10, 17 and 18. "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward." And then into Deuteronomy 10, 18. "He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment." And back in those days, the widow and the fatherless in Israel were as one. Both were forced to live in an impoverished state due to no fault of their own. However, this widow of which we refer to today was not a Hebrew widow. Rather, she was a Gentile. She was not entitled to the benefits or the privileges which this law did provide for such a Hebrew widow, which provided protection for the Hebrew widows. This was not so of this Gentile widow woman of whom we read of in 1 Kings 17. Yet the Lord saw to it that both the widow and her son were looked after, as well as provide for his servant Elijah. There's an interesting note, an interesting point here for us to note also, as we see Elijah as a type of Christ here in verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, and go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. But make me thereof a little cake first. Elijah had to be fed first. Despite the fact of the impoverished position in which this widow was found, despite the circumstances, Elijah had to be fed first. Christian, tell me this morning, in all your plans, your ambitions, are you putting Christ first? Think of this widow. Nothing. Nigh unto death, hungry, going out to prepare her last meal. You know, everything in life must come after Christ. Christ must be first in our lives as believers. You know, the ravens knew the order of things. They knew the order of things. They could have flown anywhere, but at the commandment of the Lord, they brought the bread and flesh to Elijah. Here's a Gentile woman, and she knew the order of things. Tell me this morning, what about you and me here in Ballymoney, in Hebron? Do we know the order of things? Do we know, do we really know the order of things? The challenge to both saint and sinner alike this morning in this meeting is, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. In all things, Christ must be given the preeminence. The onward journey of Elijah, he was sent to an unlikely city. He was sustained by an unusual source. But see also, he was in submission to a unique strategy. What was this unique strategy? Well, Elijah was going through some preparation. You know, the name Zarephath, well, it means melting place. It means refinery. In those days, it was an industrious city, a place where metal was refined. Those unwanted elements or impurities, the raw material, were removed. Did you ever stop and think this morning, perhaps, of your situation? Regard to this difficulty, perhaps, that you're experiencing, is the Lord refining you? Is he working in your heart and life to remove those unwanted elements that shouldn't be there? Have you been brought to this particular position in your life to be refined or advanced in your walk with the Savior? So that you can say, like Job of old, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Also, we read of Zarephath in 2 Kings chapter 9 and the verse 22. And it came to pass when Joram said, Jehu, that he said, Is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, What peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel, her witchcrafts are so many. We have seen already how Zarephath was a place of wickedness, darkness, idolatry, of Baal worship. And the Lord used Elijah's time there to develop a greater hatred for that which was wrong and develop a greater love for that which was right. God is a hater of sin, but yet he has that love, praise God, for the sinner. And so too, if we are truly a disciple of his this morning, are you in the midst of a trial today, yet you know not why? Well then, can I just remind you that you are now where Elijah was then. Oh, we call what was happening to him at that time preparation with the benefit of hindsight. But the reality is he didn't know any more then with regard to what the future held for him than what you do now. He was going through preparation for the day that which was approaching when he would challenge the prophets of Baal there on Mount Carmel. Not only was the purpose of this unique strategy for the preparation of God's servant Elijah, but it was for the presentation of God's salvation. If you turn over with me to Luke 4 and 24, we read these words over in Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 24 through to 26. We see the presentation of God's salvation. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." And this is referring to Elijah going outside of Israel to Zarephath. And then into verse 25, "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath," or Zarephath, "a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." Elijah became the first prophet to the Gentiles. He was sent there to reach that one widow. And this widow remains among those whose name goes unrecorded for us in Scripture today. The late Mrs. Lloyd-Jones, the wife of the Reverend or the renowned Welsh preacher Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones and commentator, he said this, that it's important for us to know these people. It's not good enough not to know anything about them when we meet them in heaven. Her name is not recorded, neither in the Old or New Testaments. To us this morning, to you and me here in Hebron and Ballymoney, it's just this widow. This widow of Zarephath who fed Elijah. But folks, this morning or today, I can assure you that God knows her name. God knows her name. And as he looks upon you this morning, and regardless what your difficulty may be, whatever it is that you're coping with or working your way through, you might look around you and you think there's nobody cares or nobody understands or nobody even wants to know. I'm so insignificant. God knows your name. God knows your plight, just as he did that of the widows. Of all the widows in Israel, Elijah was sent to this one widow woman. The Lord used her to provide for him, and he used Elijah to present to her the message of salvation. We read her testimony, don't we, there in verse 42 of 1 Kings 17. "And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." Verse 24, rather, the closing verse. He said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." You know, this morning, each and every one of us who call ourselves Christians, we have a choice with regard to the circumstances in which we are found today. We can either despise them, we can rebel against them, rebel against God, become bitter, or we can delight in them. As the delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. As in the words of Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You know, the Lord has a providential plan. He's brought you this way for a purpose. You know, it's great to look down and see so many young people here this morning, and boys and girls, despite the fact that school's out and Sunday school's off and regular school's off. Maybe you're here this morning under duress. If so, you know, I can tell you, I can understand how you feel, because I have sat where you sat. Trailed along to church, perhaps, not feeling any desire to be here.
Is it not time, though, that while you're still young, you submit to the unique strategy that God has for your life? You know, you can make mistakes while you're young, that despite the Lord's forgiveness, that you will live with the remainder of your life with the consequences here on earth. I urge you this morning, submit to the unique strategy that God has for you while you're young. Don't despise your upbringing, the blessings, but rather delight in them today. As Daniel 11 and 32, but be that people, be people that do know their God and be strong and do exploits. May the Lord grant us each one this morning, children of His, to advance, that ability to advance in our walk with Him, knowing and believing that despite our circumstances, though oftentimes they may be illogical, humanly speaking, as what Elijah experienced, that God has a unique plan, a providential plan, a purpose for every child of His, and the trial of our faith, yes, it worketh patience. And as for God, His ways are perfect. May we each one go from this place as bright and shining lights for Him, that men may see our good works and glorify our Father despite our circumstances. They may glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Amen. We trust the Lord will take that which is of Himself this morning, use it for His divine honor and glory. We'll close our meeting in the singing of hymn number 439. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me.
Oh,
Our gracious God and Father, we thank thee and praise thee that thou art the one that changes not. And Father, thou art the one that abideth through, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of how we are found this morning. And Father, we realize that none can stay thine hand or say, what doest thou? And Lord, help us, Father, then to bow to thine sovereign plan and purpose that thou hast for each one of us, even as thy children, as we go forth even into another week in thy will. O Lord, help us to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God, regardless of our circumstances, regardless what we may come up against, realizing that as for God, his ways are perfect. Bless us now. Take us to our homes in safety, we pray. Bring us back again, and I will, for the gospel service. For it's in Christ's name we'd ask it. Amen.